welcome again, everybody, to another episode of Ring That Bell Podcast, presented by Branded Sports. Branded Sports, I do that every time. We got a great show for you guys. We're going to go over Sixers draft, Sixers trades, how we think they're going to stack up in the East. I'm here with my co-host, Potok. What's up, dude?
Yo, what's good, boys? I got my Sierra Mist and rum with me. Tomorrow's Friday. I'm ready to drink a lot of beers. I'm ready.
I'm playing golf tomorrow. I'm taking the day off. Mm-hmm. So today was my Friday. So I get Friday, Saturday, Monday, I think. That's how it stacks up. I'm ready to roll.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
Damn.
And everybody who doesn't know that voice, that is the man behind the plan of Branded Sports, CEO Joe.
That was close.
What's up, man? How's your week been?
Good, man. I mean, it's been hectic. It's been busy. It's been going nuts. So we just got our nanny back, so that's been a lifesaver. But it's been a while.
That's good. Alex, what's up, my man?
What's going on, AJ? Definitely seen better days now, knowing everybody's, you know, basically already started their weekend. I still got tomorrow, and then I'm going to be working on Friday. So
brutal. That's fucked up from your company, dude. I would have been pissed if I got to go in on Friday after Thanksgiving.
Nothing I can do.
All right, so let me be the first to say that Daryl Morey completely hit a home run on this draft. I mean, at first, I was very skeptical with Tyrese Maxey. And then once I came down to earth a little bit of my anger, I thought it was a really good pick. I see a lot of Donovan Mitchell in him. That's just my opinion. I don't think he's going to be that good, but the style of play is there. Potok, I know you weren't really a fan at all. How are you feeling now?
I was like 15 beers deep at that point of like the draft, and I really wanted a shooter, but like after I sobered up and I started watching his film, he's really starting to grow on me. I like his like shot creating potential besides Ben Simmons, so kind of the same way as you. I like him.
All right, Alex, how about you? Because I know you were pretty all right with it.
Yeah, I mean, I like the move, especially getting rid of a Jay Rich. I feel like he could basically be like a Jay Rich, just we don't know what his potential is going to be shooting wise. But I like him as a person. I think he's got that fight we've been wanting from a rookie. Mm-hmm. I think he's going to come in and put in that work. And I actually think his shot's going to get better as he develops into the NBA. And I think he's really got a lot of players around him, just with the players that the Sixers have, to put him in a really successful position. So I really like the pick. I thought it was best case scenario, like a week later, now that I'm thinking about it.
Right. So for me, I went back and I was looking at video on his shot. His shot's not broke. It's more his shot selection is why his 3-point percentage was down. Joe, how did you feel about the pick?
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way as Potok. I wanted them to just grab the best shooter on the board at the time, because that's all. And going off of what Morey was saying as well, you keep Embiid, you keep Simmons, which I think was the right choice. I don't think moving them helps this team at all. And you just surround them with the best shooters you can find. So I wanted to see them take a shooter, but at the same time, I feel like he fell to them. And it was one of those picks where it's like, we can't not take him. So I like the pick. I actually would have been happy with them not making a selection at all and trading that pick away for more, you know, more established shooter, but you know, I'll take it. I think it's a good pick. I like to see where this kid turns out in the next like 3 years. I think he's going to come off the bench as like your seventh, eighth guy this year, but I'm excited to see what he can do.
So I'm really big on like player comparisons. As you heard, I think he can be a Donovan Mitchell type styled player. I don't think he's going to be averaging 25 a game, but he gives you that type of play when Ben Simmons is off the court or when he's on the court. I've seen a lot of people saying that he reminds them of Markelle Fultz, which is not a good thing. What do you guys think?
No, I saw that, and I don't know where the Fultz comparisons were coming from, but I think that's just ludicrous. I don't see that at all.
I can kind of see it. coming out of college, like the comparison, not obviously not after 2-3 years of him in the league.
Right.
But I like it. He shared the same potential of being a shot creator next to Ben Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So that's I'm coming from.
So I kind of do see what they're saying in the fact with the shot creation and the way he, like, if you look at both their like college tape, they're almost identical with the way that they drive to the hole, the ability to finish. I just think that this kid has the makeup to not get the yips. And that's the whole difference.
Well, I think here's the difference. This kid's going to come in and not have the pressure of he has to be a scorer on his back. So that's going to change a lot of perception's reality. When Fultz came in, it was like he has to be a scorer. And this kid's not going to have to do that. So he's going to get a lot more leeway. And I think it's going to help for his game too, because then we're going to look at him and anything he provides offensively, we're going to be like, this is awesome.
Yeah. So let's move on to the first second round pick, Isaiah Joe. I'm really, really hyped that they picked him. I was on board with taking him at 34. To get him at 48 was just mind-blowing. I can't believe that he lasted that long. His form is perfection. It's so, so pretty to watch. Alex, what's your feeling about Isaiah?
It's funny because I really like the pick of like where they got him, but I could totally see like the old Sixers have taken him at like 21 or something, like, or like 34, something crazy like that. So
right.
Where they got him was perfect. I think that was a steal too. Where they got him, I think both the picks were steals. So I'm hype about Joe. He really doesn't have as much pressure as Maxey does. I don't think Maxey has that much pressure on him, but if he develops into any type of bench piece, that's just, you know, great for us. It doesn't matter what he does. I feel like he's in a really good situation where if that does pan out, I mean, he looks good. So if he works well with this team, that's just huge.
Right. Potok.
I mean, let's first talk about how his last name is Joe. I've never met a person with a last name Joe, but he seems like a goon. He seems like a knockdown shooter that they obviously need. And he looks like he has some length to him too, that he might be able to throw him at the four and see what he can do. I can't see him getting much playing time this year though.
Yeah. Yeah. Not
AJ, tell your kid to fucking beat it.
He's got a lot to say about this kid. This dude.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks like AJ's kid wants to get in. Joe, how do you feel about Joe?
All right, so let me preference this with, I don't care about second round players. I just don't. And I know it's like a really, I actually, if we're being fully honest, I actually don't care about anything outside the top like 14. I just don't care about them. I would trade away every pick outside of the top 14 if I were a GM. But this kid, for what, like, once again, what you need is you need to surround him with shooters, 6'5", long arms. I liked him in Arkansas. I think he's going to be a good shooter when he gets a chance. I just don't see him getting – like, he's not going to play much at all this year. And honestly, we don't want him to play much, because if he's playing, that means somebody probably got hurt. So. I like him for what he is, a bench player. What he's going to do is he's going to force Furkan – to either get better or get off the team. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what I'd rather have. Yeah.
Hopefully it's him off the team. How did you feel about the draft in general this year?
From a Sixers perspective, I loved it. But that I would say that had probably 80% to do with the Horford trade. So the Horford trade was an absolute steal. I mean, just an absolute steal. You get it off your books. You get a player back you kind of like. And the pick you traded, it's top six protected. I just told you, I would trade away everything that's outside of the top 14. So top six protected, and if it doesn't convey, they get 2 second-round picks.
It's a win-win.
I don't know how you make that deal if you're them. I don't know what you're thinking, but I'll take it. So I loved it. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting because this draft was kind of weird, especially with COVID and everything. There wasn't that number one talent. So I think with this draft, we're definitely going to see, you know, one player that went deep, whether it be later in the first or in the second round, kind of become one of the best players in the draft. I don't think there's going to be someone in this draft that's like the number one guy or is going to be like a star player. But I think this draft was definitely full of, you know, guys that could come in and play and really make an impact. But no star player here. But we could definitely get into that Horford trade. Potok, how big was getting rid of Horford's contract?
I thought it was everything. And I like bringing in Green, even though he didn't play that well in the playoffs and he's getting death threats. I do like his like defensive abilities and how he can shoot when he wants to. But, I mean, just getting that off the books and you have some money to, like, mess around with and you're not tied down to a 35-year-old whose sister's a dumb bitch. But I love it. So get her out of the neighborhood, too.
So, Joe, do you guys think there's any more big moves as far as players being sent away? Like, here's what I'm asking. Is Tobias Harris on this team opening night?
Yes.
Yeah, without a doubt. I don't see the Sixers making any move until the season starts with what they have now. Maybe not either. Not with Ben, Joel, or Tobias. I don't think they'll move any big piece until they see what they have on the court.
Yeah, I think the Doc Rivers factor too with Tobias. I think they want to see if they can rejuvenize him.
What do you think, Joe? Do you think they're going to stay, or do you think they're going to make a move before opening day?
See, I don't know. When you make that many moves that fast and like that much of a flurry, you almost think that you're, or at least what I take it as, is that you're trying to figure out your big move before somebody else comes in and swoops in and takes it from you. Now, granted, the moves that they made, especially with Horford, those were moves that needed to be made. So we all knew that was coming. The fact that they got that much when they basically had no leverage in the trade market is insane to me. So I don't know if there's going to be another big move. I could see this being their roster starting the season. I just don't know when you look at it, and we can actually bounce it around. When you look at it, what's the starting lineup then that makes the most amount of sense for what they have? What do you guys think?
Starting lineup-wise, I would go Ben,
Seth,
Matisse, Tobias, Embiid.
And then who's your sixth man? Danny Green?
Yeah, I'm interchanging Danny Green and Curry in that shooting guard spot. And then I'm keeping Ben at point, Matisse at the three, Tobias four, Embiid five. And then it's whoever's going to be the bench piece, whether it be Curry or Danny Green. I think that's their best case scenario.
See, because when you say it like that, that makes me think that they have to make another move in some way. Only because when you look at it, you're like, oh shit, like we don't have like seven strong that we feel like super comfortable that could like interchange in and out. I think they need one more shooter that could potentially come in if there's an injury to go in the two or the three at any point in time.
I agree.
Well, I definitely think they need to make one more move. I don't think this team that they have now can compete for a championship. I just don't think they're talented enough. But I think Morey wants to see what the talent they have now can do before he makes any type of big move. Because I think Morey eventually is going to make a big move, and I think he's going to do it at the midway point of the season. But I think he wants to evaluate what this team can do now and how they can play together. And then Morey will be able to see firsthand what needs to be fixed, who needs to go, whether it's, you know, Ben, Joel, neither of the two, maybe Tobias or whatever, and then go get what they need. I think Morey just needs time to figure out who works well with what and what they need to do and then what they need to do to win.
I can definitely see that.
So then say midway through the season, who's he going to be dangling, Matisse Thybulle or Tobias Harris in a first-round pick?
I think a lot of it has to do with Ben Simmons. I think he really needs to see what Ben Simmons is going to do. I think Ben Simmons is going to be the dangle piece. If Ben Simmons doesn't become what you want him to be, I think Morey's going to trade him. I know you fucking hate to hear that, Protok, because you're Ben Simmons' biggest fan, but I think it all comes down on Ben Simmons.
I can't see Ben Simmons leaving town any earlier than two seasons from now, even if he plays exactly how he's playing now. He's 23. You just can't give up on a generational guy like Ben Simmons at age 23. He legitimately is the best Sixer that we've seen in town since Allen Iverson. And it's not even close. It's so not even close.
I had no idea you were in on Ben. So
I am driving the Ben Simmons bandwagon.
So would you rather, if you had to pick one to stay on the team, let's
Ben
say
Ben Simmons. Next
Ben
question.
Simmons over Joel?
100%.
All right.
Only
so
because what Joel does, what Joel does best, he does better than Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons does so many more things at a higher level.
So would you? What about, let's say Ben Simmons stays the same. He's what he's been these past couple of years. He doesn't get any better with Doc Rivers. You're still keeping him.
If he stays the same, I guess it would depend on what we mean by stay the same.
Let's say he stay. I mean, he obviously has a ball handling ability and he can pass unlike anyone else. But what that shot? I'm not saying he needs a 3-point shot, but if his mid range shot, he doesn't have a mid range shot and his scoring doesn't improve, he's floating around 16, 17 points a game. You're not trading him.
I have a hard time. Here's why I have a hard time, because his passing is elite.
Yeah.
His defense is elite. And his rebounding is elite.
And his size.
Yeah. It's just so hard to get a guy that does that many things at almost the top level in the league and then say, yeah, but there's one thing that he does good. I just wish he did better. Because he's not a bad scorer. Here's what I need this change. I don't care about if he shoots 0-200 at from 3-point next year, I wouldn't care. If he can't hit a mid-range shot, I don't care. I just want him to play aggressive. When he plays aggressive, he's undeniable. There's nobody scarier in the open court than Ben.
No, and that's one thing too. If he was aggressive and just driving the lane and just finished and dunked the ball, he would be unbelievable. But he still doesn't have that. And I don't know if it had to do with Brett Brown and whatever the accountability issues. I don't even care about that. But I'm intrigued to see how Ben plays this season under a new coach. And they're kind of building a roster around him too with the shooters that they're building around him. But they're setting him up for success. And if we get halfway through this season and he's still scoring, you know, 16, 17 points a game and he's not as aggressive as you want him to be and he's kind of wasting that talent, you mean to tell me you wouldn't trade him for James Harden?
No, absolutely.
There's no way.
Real quick question. When James Harden went to the finals and won that championship, was it because of him or other players? Done that. Because when he gets the playoffs, he looks fat and lazy. Listen, you can't build – you cannot win. You cannot win a championship any longer by having one player that scores 35 to 40 a game and then not having another good player that complements him. Harden cannot be complimented.
I'm not saying that, but if they were to bring in Harden, especially with Embiid and Tobias and still, I don't think they're going to make an offense like D'Antoni had in Houston where they just give Harden the keys and just say, go do whatever, shoot the ball 40 times a game, I don't care. And I don't think Harden would be as good here with the talent we have. I don't think he would be the type of scorer he is in Houston, but I think Harden's right now, he's so much better than Ben Simmons. There's no doubt in my mind.
At one part of the game, 100%.
What do you think, Potok? If Ben Simmons stays the way he is, would you trade him for Harden straight up?
You're talking about half of a season.
No.
Under a brand new coach. That's such a short reach.
I don't know. But, I mean, we this has just been the conversation that Sixers fans have had since he's been here. How long can you wait? You can only be so patient.
Is he the biggest storyline for this out of the Sixers team this year going into the season? Is he the biggest storyline, Ben Simmons? Out of anything, new coach, new GM, is all eyes on Ben Simmons?
I think if you're power ranking, and I think you go Doc 1, Ben Simmons 2. I would have said Morey probably would have been like number 5, but Morey probably sneaked his way into the top 3 and maybe even over Ben for number 2. But I think Doc's the number 1 because – as much as people have been talking about Ben Simmons, people have been shouting out Brett Brown's name even longer everything. Yeah. So
what do you think, Potok? Because I know you're Ben Simmons' biggest fan. You're a Ben Simmons fangirl.
Not now. So
I'm not trading a future 33-year-old who shot what, like 1-for-17 from 3 in the playoffs a year ago. I'm not trading Ben Simmons anytime soon.
Anytime soon. No. I mean, if you had to think about it, I think I definitely Doc Rivers is number one on who all Sixers fans' eyes are on this season. I would go Doc one. I would even go Morey number two, to be honest. Because Morey's such a big name, and they're expecting him to do more, and they want him to make that big play and that big splash, that big trade that's going to get us another superstar. So I think a lot of pressure is on Morey. I love what he's done so far. He's literally came in and already made an impact. And then I would say Ben 3, maybe Tobias 4, and then Embiid 5. I think Embiid has zero accountability. I think Embiid could score 20 points a game and do nothing, and I think Sixers fans will still love him. There's just something about Embiid. I just think he's the most loved player.
It's infuriating. Ben Simmons works his ass off at every single part of his game, and Joel Embiid never comes in shape, but the city still loves him. I don't understand it.
What's your thoughts on Embiid, Joe?
I love Embiid. Well, my concerns are he's had too many games, big possessions down low, and he's like just giving up the ball or turned over the ball. And I think a lot of that it goes back to is that him or is that the scheme? I think what's haunted the Sixers over the last like 3 to 4 years has been Brett Brown. I don't think Brett Brown at all was a good coach. He didn't change anything. Was it game five versus Toronto?
That was brutal.
That was game five, right? Because they were up.
Yeah.
There was game four. They were up 2-1. And if they won that game, they go 3-1. That series is over. They most likely are playing in the championship. And unfortunately, what happened with Clay, they probably win the championship. You go into that game needing the win. You're at home. And the last three possessions you have are the exact same possession where nothing's going on. And you're just screaming at Brett Brown. I think Doc is head and shoulders going to be a better coach and is going to get so much more out of this team. And I think he's going to make Embiid look better. And I think he's going to make everybody look better.
I like his supporting cast, too, that he brought in. Was it Sam Cassell?
Yeah, Cassell was huge.
How do you say that one guy's name? Jorgen?
Ooh, I don't know. We need AJ here for that.
I like him, too.
I don't know. It's interesting. Do you think anything with Doc Rivers and his tenure with the Clippers has anything to do with anything? I mean, he was a 3-1 choke artist too. I mean, he really hasn't had much success in the playoffs since he's been with Boston.
Yeah, true. I mean, that's definitely true. But I will say he had playoff B. So I mean, I think that Clippers team going into the season, I thought that Clippers team was a little bit overrated just because they were getting the Kawhi treatment. It's everybody expected Kawhi to play every game the rest of his career, like he did in those playoffs where he just couldn't miss and he carried the team. And I just think that that's unrealistic. So I don't know. I just think Doc Rivers is a very, very good and accomplished coach.
How is he coaching Paul George, who got his daughter pregnant and then bounced on her? How is he coaching her? Like who let that happen?
Wild situation.
That's probably why he's not there anymore. There's a little bit of animosity there.
I mean, it's got to be tough coaching, looking down the fucking bench and seeing that guy and just trying not to think about that.
Yeah, he's just been piping your – whatever. I mean.
Pipe there than bounce, dude. Yeah. And now his daughter's dating Seth Curry, so now he's coming here more motivated. He's got his grandson in town.
Yeah, now he can keep a close eye on Curry, make sure he's treating his daughter right.
I forgot about that. Yeah, Seth Curry will be in the starting lineup then. Never mind.
Yeah, he's going to be the number one scoring option. Let's talk about Steph Curry. I mean, well, I thought that trade was – that was so unexpected, Rich, for Seth Curry. I think that was such a huge move for this team. What do you think, Potok?
I agree. I like getting Seth Curry. I always thought that Josh Richardson would be a trade piece for, say, like Josh Thibault in a first for a Buddy Hield or Zach LaVine. But since we didn't go that route, I do like how they were able to get, 45.1% from three last year, like first in the league or second. So, I mean, I think that'll be unreal with Ben Simmons. And Joel Embiid in the post will be kicking it out to him all the time. So I do like it.
What are your thoughts, Jim?
Yeah, I love it. So Ben Simmons, again, last year, led the league, most three-pointers assisted too, with nobodies. You add a Seth Curry, I think it looks good. Let me ask you this. This is a totally random question, but you were just mentioning Hield. Hield for like Matisse and a first or Tobias and a first. Would you guys do that?
Yeah. I don't know about
Tobias.
I'd rather keep Tobias. I would rather keep Tobias. I think Tobias can be good, and Tobias was really good when he was with the Clippers under Doc, when he was playing the four. I think Tobias wasn't used to his abilities with under Brett Brown, and I think we're going to see a way different Tobias under Doc Rivers. I think we're not going to see the worth of the huge contract we got, but I think we're going to see a better Tobias Harris. I would do Matisse and a first for Buddy Hield any day of the week right now, 10 days from now, half the season from now. That is just that, yeah. Buddy Hield and for Matisse and a first, no doubt in my mind.
It'd be tough for them to afford it, but I would definitely pull the trigger on that one as well. I agree with you though, Alex. I think we're going to see a lot more of the Tobias we saw in LA before, because I think Tobias has 20 and 10 talent in him. I just don't think that the scheme ever matched his abilities.
No. And he was playing the three last year. I like him way more at the four to where he can capitalize on his mismatches. So I didn't like him at the three last year. There's way too much pressure on him to shoot well from beyond the arc. And I like him in the mid-range near the post.
And even with adding shooters just like Curry and Green puts a lot of pressure off Tobias. So Tobias doesn't even have to be that type of shooter now when you have more shooters on the team. I think we're going to see a way different Tobias this season. I'm not high on Tobias, but I'm not writing him off yet. But Matisse, I know Matisse is good, and I know Matisse is loved. He has a lot of value, but I know he's great defensively. I just don't think Matisse's offensive abilities are ever going to make it there. I would get rid of Matisse now while his value is high, because I think in a couple of years, I just don't think he's going to pan out to what we think he's going to be.
I look at him and I see, like, when you get a quarterback and you get them on their rookie deal, like, he's cheap right now and you're getting more for him than what you're going to pay for. So I like the idea of keeping him and then trading him away as well before you have to actually pay him any type of money that's going to end up hurting you or, like, at least handcuffing you.
Yeah. AJ, Joe just brought up the question. Would you trade Matisse in a first or Tobias in a first for Buddy Hield?
Matisse.
Would you do Tobias in a first for Buddy Hield?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because if you're trying to win a championship, who helps you out more now? This team isn't looking to win in the future, they're looking to win now. So if you have a Tobias and a Buddy Hield, that only helps your chances more.
I don't know. I think you can make a case for a Thibodeau's defense throughout the four rounds of the playoffs can play a major factor.
How many minutes do you think he's getting, and how much offensive production do you think that's going to come with it?
I mean, he could easily become a bona fide Robert Covington. So
that's absolutely nonsense.
What do you
mean? And I'm not even a Covington guy.
Dude,
I hate Covington.
Oh my god, didn't they just get two first rounders for Covington?
Thibodeau will never be able to shoot the ball like Covington can.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I think he's a poor man's Rocco.
I don't even think he's a poor man's Rocco, because he absolutely has no offensive game. When he's out there, he looks like a deer in headlights. I like him because I think he's a good kid, and he's a very, very, very good defender. But offensively, he doesn't help you much. So if you can get a Buddy Hield for him and a first instead of someone who's averaging probably going to be 20 or around 20 points a game this season, I think it's a no-brainer.
I can't argue that.
And again, my fault, fellas. My son woke up screaming, crying, so I had to get him situated.
All good, man.
So yeah, where do you guys think the Sixers size up in the East then right now?
I don't know. I think I don't think that this roster is complete yet. I hope it's not complete yet. I mean, they're in a dogfight now for that fourth seed. I think they're a 4 or 5 team right now, the way it's built. But once again, like, you gotta see what Doc can do. I think this team could be as good as your 2 or your 3 seed, but I think most likely you're looking at a fourth seed next year until we see what Doc is.
Yeah.
So for me, draft night, I said they'll be back in the 6th seed. That was coming off of draft night anger because of Maxi. I wasn't really happy with it at first. But going back to it, seeing the Celtics and stuff like that. Like, I don't think the Celtics have gotten any better. I think they've actually taken a step back. Toronto, in my opinion, depending on how Baines fits in that system, may have taken a step back, in my opinion, because Embiid does work on Baines, doesn't do work on Gasol. So him being out of the equation helps the Sixers. But the Nets get better. It's tricky.
I actually really is. I hope the Nets get Harden because I don't think that'll work at all in that situation.
That'll be the best television ever, though. Watching them try to score.
Fantastic.
See, I think Harden going there would work in the long run, to be completely honest.
Kyrie because, is a sociopath, dude. That would not work.
But with KD's coming off the Achilles and then Kyrie has always been injury prone, I think one of them is bound to get hurt. So it's more so not hoping, but thinking Kyrie's going to get hurt during the season. And then if you have Harden and KD, I think they cook on the Nets. But I think Harden going to the Nets is more of an insurance policy. Because they're both coming off injuries. I just think you need three stars. Like, those three stars, I honestly think it would work. I think it would be worth it for the assets they give up. I think it would be a fucking circus with those three. It would blow up, and I think Kyrie would not be on the Nets in a year or 2 years, without a doubt. But I like the move because you might end up with Harden and KD, and I think Harden and KD, that would be
– Yeah, that duo would be nasty.
See, I only reason I don't see – Harden and KD being able to work is that you would need somebody that's going to end up being your passer that's going to make a lot of sense for the two of them. And in that scenario, for Harden to really be his best, he would have to be your dribble drive guy. So if he's your dribble drive guy, making penetration, kicking out to KD, that play works. And KD's going to hit that shot and he's going to get a ton of points that way. But you're basically then taking away one of KD's best assets, which is when he has his hands on the ball. So either way, one of them will have to dribble drive, and I think you take away a little bit from the other guy.
Yeah, 100%. That's three ball dominant players.
Exactly.
To me, that'll never work.
Yeah.
It would just never work. Kyrie would get frustrated within the first 2 weeks, and then you know Kyrie. So I don't need to explain myself there. I could see them, like Joe said, I could see them as high as four. I see him as low as six. That's my ballpark. I don't really see them getting it because I just don't think this roster. Yeah, you got Danny Green. Yeah, you got Seth Curry. Yeah, you got Dwight Howard. I just don't think they took that high of a leap yet. Like Joe said, I don't think this roster's complete. At least I hope it's not. But the way that Daryl Morey was talking today was that he was looking more to make a move towards the trade deadline instead of right now because he wants to see what he has on the floor.
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about when you were gone. We were saying, do you think Morey's going to make a move before opening day? Do you think this is going to be the roster we rock with opening day? Or do you – I was saying we think he's going to make a move more so towards the midway point of the season.
Yeah.
When he can get a feel for what this roster looks like, how they play together, and then figure out what he needs.
The only – if there is a move to be made before the season starts, it's going to be for a power forward, a backup power forward, because they need one badly right now. I think Mike Scott – they're trying to find a way to get Mike Scott off the roster. He's due like $6
million. Out of here.
Yeah, he's due like $6 million, and you just can't pay him that. Yeah, I agree. Give me Carmelo. I'm down for that.
Hell yeah.
What about the Hawks? Because I see the East in three tiers. I think you're going to have Milwaukee and Brooklyn at the top, obviously, just because of the talent they have. Milwaukee's a great regular season team. There's no doubt about it.
And they bulked up big time this
year. So I definitely think they're going to be, during the regular season at least, one of the definite top teams. I think the Nets will be a top team if KD stays healthy. When you have, you know, one of the top three players in the league, obviously you're going to be good. And then you kind of have that middle tier with the Sixers, Celtics, Raptors,
Pacers.
That middle tier of the East is when it's going to get interesting, and you don't know how it's going to play out. I'm not going to count out the Raptors, at least during the regular season standings wise, because I just think the Raptors they're definitely so good during the regular season.
Nick Nurse is a phenomenal coach.
So I'm intrigued to see that how that plays out, and then also the Heat too. They just went to the finals. I don't know how they made it to the finals, but I definitely think they're going to take a step back. I have no stock in the Heat. I think they just got lucky with the bubble.
This might be the best the East has been in almost probably 15, 20 years. It's incredible how good the Hawks. That might be their 7 or 8 seed, and that team is stacked right now. They're built for the future and right now, to be honest with you.
I actually can't remember a time that the East was this good.
Neither can I.
I don't recall a time. I mean, probably – I think you're probably into the 90s when the last time.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's – I don't know. I think adding Gallinari and then – potentially Bogdanovich for the Hawks is just huge.
Yeah, they got Rondo too, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then they got the center from USC in the draft. He
call him Baby Bam.
Yeah,
Chris Dunn too.
Yeah, Chris Dunn too.
So I think the Hawks are actually gonna be I'm not gonna consider them one of the middle tier teams yet, just because you don't know how it's gonna play on paper. But I think they could end up being one of those middle tier teams. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
I'm definitely
with
throwing
them.
Some shekels. I'm throwing some money on the Hawks to get to the playoffs.
Fucking right. So off of everybody's offseason moves to this point, who's your right now prediction to win the whole thing? Like at
Lakers.
This very time.
The Lakers, you think? Lakers.
Yeah. I mean,
especially with Marc Gasol adding that's huge. I think. And who's the guy?
Harrell too. Montrezl Harrell.
That was, I mean, that was like a steal.
I think Montrezl Harrell was the biggest signing they did this offseason by far. I mean, you give them a Montrezl Harrell over Dwight Howard. It's, it's night and day. Not saying that I think Dwight Howard's going to be huge here. I think he's the perfect backup center for Embiid, because he gives Ben Simmons the ability to run transition and the pick and roll with the ability for lobs, which Ben Simmons strives at getting that pick and roll for the oops. Can't do that with Embiid. He barely gets up. With Dwight Howard, the dude's freakishly athletic. He's getting up for all them oops. So it's just a lot of possibilities with him off the bench.
So what, do we all have the Lakers repeating?
Yeah. I mean – right now, yeah, I would say.
As of right now, yeah, I don't think you can argue that.
On paper, yeah, you can't argue. And they just did nothing but get better in the offseason.
I'll tell you what, though. The Suns, man.
That's your sleeper pick to win
it
all?
Dude, that's my sleeper pick, dude.
That's smoked out.
I just think this is the first this is the first team that Chris Paul's went to where he's got legit shooters all around him. Everywhere he's went, everyone was either a high flyer or a transition guy. You go to Phoenix where you got literally shooters 1 through 5. I just think that they finish in the top 4 in the West, in my opinion.
They're going to be the most fun team to watch 100%. By a mile.
I mean, him and Devin Booker is just going to be insane. Like, I'm so high on that kid. It's insane.
They lost Aaron Baines. I don't know how they'll get back.
But,
who do you guys think is going to come out of the East when it's all said and done?
Milwaukee. I just think that they got so much better this offseason. They're a lot deeper. They got a veteran point guard in Drew Holiday. He's one of the best defenders in the league now. That's going to help them big time. That's what they were missing last year, was someone who can play defense besides Giannis. And they really didn't have anybody. And now they have somebody who can lock down in Drew Holiday. It's just going to help them a lot more in the playoffs.
Give me the Sixers coming out, dude. A packed house at Wells Fargo in the playoffs. Me in the stands, dude. We're coming out of the Eastern Conference.
I mean, it would be banging. I don't think this is the year. The team that they have right now is just not a contender.
Yeah, I agree. I think Milwaukee should be the right answer. There's just something about them that I feel like they just play a little soft. I don't know. I just feel like they can get bullied in the playoffs. I just don't know who's going to do the bullying this year. That's the only question, is who in the East is going to bully them out. So I would love to say the Sixers. I think the Sixers are built to beat them. So I think if they somehow get matched up in the second round, I think the Sixers would end up beating them. But I don't know. I just don't know who beats them. So I guess I'll take Milwaukee, but regrudge them.
I'm taking the Nets.
You love the Nets.
You really do love the Nets.
I do. I do. And I'm a KD hater. I hate KD. I really do. But, dude, on paper, the Nets are so good. They really are. And I think it's going to work. I don't know. We'll see.
I don't think their roster is going to be the same by the deadline. I think they're going to be giving up.
Yeah.
Because there's too many – they got too many ball-dominant players on that team. I mean, you got Caris LeVert, Spencer Dinwiddie off the bench. Then you got the two, obviously, Durant and Kyrie. I just think there's too many variables of ball-dominant players on that team.
As much as I hate Kevin Durant, I think we're going to see a different version of him just because he hasn't been that guy on a team in so long because he was with Golden State. I think he's got something to prove, at least coming out of the East. I mean, you really don't have that much to pick from just because the top teams at the top. All right, you have Milwaukee. I think Giannis is so focused on leaving Milwaukee. I think this season, I just don't see them making the finals. I really don't. I think Giannis is ready to go to either the Heat or the Warriors. I really think Giannis is ready to go. Well,
he can't
go to
Heat now. He can't go to Heat now after Bam's contract. Yeah.
I just can't see him staying with Milwaukee. I really can't. I don't think they'll ever be able to put a team together that's a championship contender around him. I really don't. I think he's ready to go. So we'll see. If I had to pick one right now, I'm taking the Nets. No doubt in my mind.
I just couldn't take the Nets on the fact of, yeah, they had the two of the top probably 15 talented players in the league, and you could probably say 10 if you really wanted to, but I don't think Kyrie's a top 10 player. They're both injury prone. So, like, I couldn't bet on them going to the finals off of that notion alone. So, I mean, I got them as my two seed, though.
It feels like KD, I know it's been like an entire year, but it feels like KD hasn't played a basketball game in like two to three years. Like, I feel like I haven't seen him play a game in forever.
And you know what's crazy is like he came back from that injury and was dominant right away. He was dominant right away. Like he's just that gifted of an offensive talent. It's wild. Like we've never seen a basketball player like him ever.
No. You know what that game reminds me of too when he got hurt? Was it the same game Klay got hurt? I put $100 on Klay Thompson's over, and the layup that he made, the layup and tore his Achilles, hit the over on that layup.
Fucking tripping.
It was awesome.
Oh man, but I mean, I would be literally shocked if the Sixers were a top three team in the East. I just,
you gotta believe.
I mean, I hope so. Like I said, I have to see this team play first. We haven't seen them. I mean, they could come out lights out, shooting all over the place.
Ben Simmons is going to come out first game, whip his dick out onto that floor, and have a triple double. I guarantee it.
I mean, I don't want to see an 11-11-11 triple double.
I do. First game,
fall. Give me a triple double anyway. He gets it. I don't give a shit.
Right.
See, I'm not with that, dude. I don't like the 11-11-11s. I mean, if you're winning, you're winning. All right, but I think triple doubles are the most empty stat in the league. It's insane because you got man. You got Russell Westbrook, who's never gonna win a ring, but woohoo! All these triple doubles.
Who's the center though? When you have a triple double point guard with your superstar big man, that's a different story.
I mean, I guess, but I don't know.
Russ had a garbage lineup.
I mean, he averaged a triple double in two straight seasons.
Ah, he's a dickhead.
I mean, I agree 100%, but I mean, it's just how I feel. Now, if he takes that jump from 16, like 15 and a half to like 18 and a half, 19 a game, then we're talking because it's only 3.5-4 points, but that's a big leap when it comes down to it. And I would love to see Ben Simmons get around that 70% mark from the free throw line. Just get me to 70. That's all I want. Because that's a difference of probably 2 to 3 free throws a game, which they've lost a handful of games last season from free throws.
But to counter that, though, to go up from, like, let's say 16 to 18, so let's say average one more bucket a game, right? Does it matter if he averages one more bucket a game or one more assist? Because in the end, it's all going to be the same. Mm-hmm. And most likely that assist is going to be a three-pointer as opposed to a two-pointer driving to the lane.
Well, if we're being realistic, the dude could have averaged 22 points a game last year if he could finish. So
yeah, true. I give you that. No,
that's,
I give
that's
that.
My point. I feel like with a coach who's going to hold him accountable, like Doc will, he'll start finishing at the bucket a lot better, which will he can get to that 20 a game easily because he's at that 15 and a half mark. 4.5 points is three finishes. And I feel like with a Doc, he's going to – if you look at Ben Simmons, a lot of his layups are off balance. They're never – he never really goes to the rim off the right foot. That's something that I feel like Doc is going to press him with because that's why he misses a lot of these free throws because he's off balance on a lot of them. That's something that Doc will teach him and Sam Cassell will teach him. And I feel like it's just going to help him a lot. And I'm that's why I was saying last season I was all for trading Ben because of Brett Brown. But now with Doc, I feel like Doc's going to get the best out of him. And I wouldn't even attempt to trade him anymore. Yeah, like, this kid's ceiling is, like, through the roof with a incredible head coach like Doc.
You sound like Potok right now, AJ.
I'm just being honest, dude.
He's one three-point shot away from develop. If he develops a three-point shot, or at least
the best player in the league,
he's LeBron light. And he's 23. I mean, he is. LeBron.
He's the best player in the league if he gets a three-point shot.
There's one player in league history that averages a triple-double per 100 possessions. Who is it? It's Ben Simmons. It's not LeBron. It's not fucking Oscar Robertson. It's Ben Simmons, the only player in league history.
Joe, you're lucky that Justin's not on right now because he'd be ripping you a new one. He is the biggest Ben Simmons hater, I think, on this planet.
See, I think the thing is people get too caught up on the flashiness of the game now and they want to see people shooting from fucking logos and shit. And that's never going to be him. That's never going to be his game. But I'm telling you, if he gets aggressive, I know you were calming down your son when we were talking about this. If he plays aggressive, he will be a top 2-3 guy in the league.
Well, that's what scares me because – last season when he went on that streak when Ben was on or when Joel was on the bench, you saw aggressive Ben and you saw him at his best. So what does that tell you right there? Like, they're better without each other. If you really think about it, Ben's better without Joe because of the spacing on the floor.
I think that's more scheme than anything though. Because there's also I think you can also say there's too many times where why is Joel at the top of the key doing a dribble handoff and shooting a three. Like, he shouldn't be doing that. And that's scheme. And then, like, that's where I think at the end of the day, it's been Brett Brown because so many people are like, Joel needs to drive the lane. He goes, all right, well, his coach is telling him not to. And then the same people are like, well, Ben needs to shoot a three. Why isn't his coach telling him to? He's like, well, his coach is. So what do you want? Do you want the player to listen to the coach or not listen to the coach? Where is it? I think it's the scheme. I think Doc Rivers is going to make this team way better.
100%. So you don't agree that Ben Simmons looks better without Joel on the floor?
I would say we don't really know. We've only seen it in a shitty scheme. I mean, does anybody say Brett Brown had a good scheme? Does anybody think that?
No, but my whole thing is they went on a winning streak without Joel Embiid on the floor, and that's because Ben Simmons was averaging like 23 a game over that stretch.
But, you know, his lineup was completely different with Ilyasova, Redick, Marco Bellinelli. He had straight shooters around him also.
Look what he had this year.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Last year he had jack shit. No shooters.
And that's the thing that scares me. Like, I just hope that the spacing is what we hope it to be. Because even with – I think they'll figure it out with it on the floor if the spacing is good enough. Because it just scares me, like – Ben is a head-down driver. Head-down goes right to the hole. Explain that.
Do you watch his highlights, how many kickouts he has from going into the lane and going out? He's got eyes behind his head.
I'm not talking about his ability to pass. I'm talking about when he drives to the hole, he drives with his head down.
But I don't think he does, though. I mean, I know in a way, when he's determined, I'm going to get to the hole, I agree. But when he's driving in the lane, if he's not like, this is going to be a dunk or nothing, then he's also got eyes everywhere. He makes one play a game, at least, where I go, how the fuck did he do that?
That's why I feel like that's why some of his layups and dunks are very soft, because he's very indecisive at the point of the rim of what to do with the ball.
I hear you, but he's got to get over that. If he's within 2 feet of the fucking basket, finish it.
He just needs to watch more LeBron and just be like, listen, LeBron goes hard and he still ends up kicking out if he needs to. So I think he needs to get that part of him. Be like, listen, you can go hard. Like, I'm going to dunk the shit out of this and put this dude on a poster. But also, you need to just be able to be ready to switch that up at last minute if you have to.
Yeah, I just, like I said, the only thing I hope is that his finishing gets better. That's it. Because that the finishing at the rim gets you 4 to 5 more points a game. And that will make the world of difference. Because his ability to finish will help this, not the spacing so much, but the openness of being able to kick out, because then you're going to have to guard, you know what I mean, the paint. And I hope he takes some mid-rangers too. I don't need threes. Just give me some elbow jumpers.
Yeah, just be dangerous from the elbow. I agree with that. I would like
he to starts see- knocking down elbow jumpers, it's over for the league. It's over, because then you're literally – he can kick it out whenever he wants. It's going to be wide open, because then they have to respect him. Yeah. And
I mean, I think you could talk about Ben Simmons for 5 hours. You can break down his whole game.
Yeah, you could.
I gladly would, too. Fucking lying, dude.
So who's the dark horse of this team? Like, who is the guy who takes the next step of being the guy? I mean, obviously you have Ben, you have Embiid. I mean, obviously Tobias, but is there another guy that steps up for this team?
I think it's Tobias. I think we're going to see a whole different version of Tobias than what we saw last year and that season we had him. I think he's going to be so different under Doc Rivers, and I think the team around him, I think we're going to see such a different Tobias. I think it's going to be such a huge factor.
How about you, Podoc?
I mean, I was thinking Tobias as well, but it has to be Ben Simmons.
Yeah.
For the reasons that we just explained. I don't even have to go into it. He just needs to take a step forward.
What about you, Joe?
I think if you take out the big three as far as Embiid, Tobias, and Simmons, I mean, I think it's got to be Matisse at that point. And I think the only thing you need from him is you just need him to just kind of do a little bit what you need Ben to do, just look more comfortable offensively. Because the defense is there, and that's always going to be there. It's harder to get better at defense because it's more of a mindset than anything.
Mm-hmm.
He's a really hard rebounder and defensive player. So if he can just get a little bit more comfortable or even a little bit more confident shooting the ball, I think he would be – if you can get like 6 to 8 from him a game and two of those being three-pointers, I think you're going to – that's all you really need from him.
Yeah.
And there's one thing, like, I'll go back to on what Potok was saying earlier about the poor man's Roko. A lot of people don't realize this. Before he got injured and he was out for a little bit, he was shooting like 41% from three. And he was shooting lights out. Like, he was money on that catch and shoot.
Yeah, he's got such a quick catch and shoot release that if he gets it down packed in the corner, I think he'd be money.
But my dark horse and who I think is going to take the next step is Shake Milton. I feel like Milton under Doc, having someone who can actually guide him, is going to make the world's a difference. He shot 41% from three last year, and he's going to get so many more looks this year with Doc. I feel like he's going to become a key part of this rotation moving forward. I mean, Doc couldn't talk any more highly of him when he first came in, especially that he scored 38 on him on the Clippers. Like, he sees the potential, and I feel like he's not going to be obviously a 20-point scorer, but I feel like he can get you 11, 12 off the bench easily.
I just don't want to see him with the ball in his hand as much.
No. Regardless, you're gonna have either Ben on the floor, or if they bring in another veteran point guard, which I hope they do, and Shake's a pure two. It's that simple. He's a pure off combo guard who can play both on and off the ball. And I feel like, obviously, his on ball was a lot better last year, but that's because you have Brett Brown, who just was horrible developing players. You have someone like Doc, who has played with some of the better point guards in the league, some of the better two guards in the league. He could help him with his off-ball offense.
Yeah, I think another factor is Danny Green. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen with him, but, I mean, the fact that he's won two finals the past 2 years, if he can come in and make an impact and hit shots, I know his defense is there, but I think he's kind of underlooked, especially getting him for Al Horford. I think he can be someone who can really make an impact, especially just kind of in the locker room too. But if he can hit his shots, I know he had a rough finals and a rough playoffs, but I'm looking at Danny Green. I think he could be someone too who can make a real impact, especially just getting him for fucking Al Horford is huge.
He's still a stout defender too. He's still a good defender.
Yeah, no doubt. And all right, so who – in your opinion, what's your starting lineup? What do you think they do? Because I've seen so many different starting lineups. I mean, you can go so many different ways depending on matchups. But what do you think their true starting lineup is, Alex?
Yeah, we were talking about this actually when you were gone. I was saying Ben, either Curry or Green, Thibault 3, Tobias 4, Embiid 5. So I think It's really just going to be a matter of fact who you want to – I think the perfect thing would be who you want to plug in that too, whether it be Curry. I would probably go with Green and then bring in Curry off the bench because he can kind of be that spark when you need him to be. But I think those two can be interchangeable at the two. I think that would be the best-case scenario for a starting lineup.
Yeah, I mean, I agree in the sense of switching Green and Matisse on matchups. If you come in – let's say you play Boston and you need Matisse in on Tatum, then that's who your starter is. But if you're playing a team where their three isn't as offensively talented, then you can get away. Not saying that Danny Green isn't a good defender, because he is, but I don't think he's to Matisse's level, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, unless they come out of the woodworks and make some miraculous trade for a three, I mean, I think that's your starting lineup.
I agree.
Yeah.
Man, I'm excited though. What are we like 39 days away from tip off or something like that? No, it's actually less than that. It's less than a month away.
Yeah.
December 22nd, right?
The 22nd.
The 22nd of December. So we're 29 days away.
Hell yeah. I mean, this past weekend, I won a lot of money gambling. I bought a overpriced PlayStation 5. I've been playing 2K21 with the new Sixers team. I'm fucking riled up.
And you know what's crazy? They can't announce that. The one thing that I like about the Danny Green trade not being able to be announced till December 8th is that they can still tinker and play with it. They can add a couple guys. Like, I really think deep down inside that Morey is going to get George Hill back in that deal.
Yeah, I think that would be huge.
Having George Hill off the bench, I feel like if you're Doc, you have to try to push Morey to make that happen. If that means that you have to give up another future first, I'm for it. Because having a George Hill who shot like 43% from three last year is just huge. And I feel like he's the perfect backup point guard for this team.
Yeah, I mean, they definitely think they do need a backup point guard too. I really liked Augustine, but he got signed, so
he got paid, dude.
Everybody got paid.
I didn't think, but it's like Corona year. Like, I didn't think he was going to get paid. Like, I thought he was going to get like a veteran minimum or something like that. But he got paid, dude.
It's like that 1 year everybody was just making a shit ton of money every deal that they signed.
That's wild. Did Jeff Teague get signed yet?
I don't think so.
I know he was out there, and I was kind of intrigued with how he would fit. I feel like he kind of has the style of play that Doc would like here, but I don't know if he would take a vet minimum, I would do it, no problem. But I'm
he went
to the Celtics, right?
Yeah.
What a scumbag.
Okay, yeah, definitely fuck him. Don't like him. So I'm just really holding hope that Maury and Doc talk it out and they're like, okay, we're gonna bring in Hill too. We'll give you an extra future first. Like, I'm all in on that.
Yeah, I think that would be money.
Are there any guys, like, obviously right now you're probably not gonna trade for a legit star because you really don't have that much capital to give up. Are there any like bench pieces that you feel the Sixers could go after that you'd want, at least that you feel would fit in the system?
Not off the top of my head. I would like maybe one or two vet minimum guys, but nothing that comes across the top of my head.
Yeah. How about you, Alex? Anybody you can think of?
No, I'm thinking. I can't. There's no one jumping out that's really, you know, would catch my eye if they were to do so. I think it's more so would be something that's going to happen that would be unexpected. Mm-hmm. You know, when the time comes, if it were to happen, that we would be hype about. But I, off the top of my head, I don't know. I'd have to do a little more research, but I can't think of anyone right now that would, you know, I'd want as like a lower tier bench piece that would really make an impact. I just don't know.
Mm-hmm. About bringing back a 39-year-old Korver
for a year? I wouldn't hate that.
I would hate
Korver when he was here.
Or Reggie Jackson is UFA.
Really?
Yeah, he is. He
30 years old. I mean,
I have no problem bringing him in. He's probably the best point guard available right now in free agency. I was talking earlier about bringing in a power forward. Isn't Ersan Ilyasova still out there?
He just got traded, right? Or did that?
No, I thought he was a free agent.
He was a part of that.
Trade that fell through.
Yeah, but that's. But then they ended up waving him.
That Bogdan Beal. I thought he was good when he was here. I would like that.
I just feel like every team he goes to, he gives a spark off the bench because his offensive rebounding ability is par none. It's for his size, the amount of offensive rebounds he gets is crazy. And that's another thing that dude Tony Bradley we got, he averaged like it was like 4 to 6, I think, in that range, offensive rebounds a game when he played. Like, that's huge.
How much do you think you'd have to pay Aronde Hollis Jefferson to come in and be a backup power forward?
$9 million a year.
Yeah, I would say in that $7 to $9 million.
The Sixers refuse to bring any type of player home.
Oh, no deal.
Back to Philly.
No deal. Because they know the neighborhoods, dude. They know the neighborhoods, dude. They ain't stupid. Chester?
Yeah, no thanks.
they ain't stupid.
I personal trained him for a couple weeks when he was in he was a junior or no, his senior year of high school. I personally trained him for a little bit. He was the man. His uncle was the nicest dude in the world. His uncle used to drive him there before school and like bring him over to us and like we train with him.
I would love the Sixers to get him. And even they don't take anyone local, whether it be they're from here or whether they went to school around here. I think if Sadiq Bey was on the board at 21, they still wouldn't have taken him.
Which
you're wrong. They brought in Malik Wayans.
They brought, dude, I don't know. If he was there, they would have took him. Did you see how mad I was when he got taken?
I know.
He got taken. I was so close. So mad.
That was so close.
I wanted him so bad. I felt like he would have been the perfect three for this team.
They just brought Jameer Nelson back in like a coaching position. So I mean that's gotta count for something, right?
No, he's GM of the fucking
Blue Coats.
Yeah.
Apparently, Jameer Nelson is the reason why Dwight Howard's here right now.
Makes sense.
Shit. All right. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Yeah. They played together in Orlando. They played together in Orlando and stayed like really good friends since. And apparently once Jameer Nelson got hired, Nelson was talking to Howard like, yo, dude, you need to get over here. They're building something special. And Howard was just like, all right, I'm in.
All right, boys. I hate to do this, but I got to jump.
You're good. We're probably wrapping it up anyway.
Thanks, Joe.
Good talking to you, Joe.
All right, man.
Keep it sleazy.
All right. So I think we touched on everything. I mean, I'm pretty sure you guys did when I had to bounce out for a second. But any last thing you guys want to add in?
Not really. I mean, I'm pumped for the season to start. I can't believe such a quick turnover from the draft to getting ready for the season now. So I'm kind of just ready to see how the roster falls together.
Potok, do you split tickets with anybody or do you just have two to yourself?
They're under my name, but I split it with Chip Choderson of Northeast Degenerates.
The one and only Chip Choderson.
They stopped taking our payments, though. They're not sure if we're going to have the fans in next year, which would suck.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I know they're definitely not doing it until the new year. Yeah. They probably won't end up doing it till closer to the playoffs anyway, to be honest with you.
It sucks, yeah. They better give my fucking bread back. I just upgraded my seats.
I mean, especially now in Philly that it's reaching like 7,000-8,000 cases a day. There's just no chance fans are happening anytime soon.
No.
Now, how does that work? Like, do they just stop taking payments for you or, like, do they hold your spot?
Yeah, they hold our spot. They just paused it. Pause the
pitch. That to come up.
Yeah.
But that's all we have for you tonight. We hope you enjoy it. For now, go Sixers.
Go Unis, baby.